On the one hand, people enjoy talking about mitzvahs that we practice because it's nageh l'maisa. And mitzvahs that we don't get the opportunity to practice, such as Shemitah, are a little bit more rachik from our makom negiyah. But the truth is that there's a tremendous advantage of learning about mitzvahs that we can't be makayim, because there's different ways to do a mitzvah. You could do a mitzvah through ma'isa. You could also be makayim a mitzvah through learning about that mitzvah. It's also a way of doing a mitzvah. Lilmeid, lilamed, lishmar, velasis. Those are all parts of doing a mitzvah. So in a certain sense, those of us stuck in chutz la'aretz for the time being, that are unable to be mekayim the halakha of mitzvah of Shemitah, we have a little bit of a flavor of Shemitah by learning about the mitzvah of Shemitah. Interesting, when I went to Eretz Yisrael the first time, so for the first year I was there, I used to walk into Mar Shiva for Shal Shudas every single week from Sanhedria. So it was about a 55-minute walk. I did that for a year, and I used to write down, most of the time I wrote down on Matzah Shabbos what he said afterwards. And when I lived in Eretz Yisrael, as if I was married, so then I lived two flights below him, so it was about a 15-20-second walk. I don't remember a thing from the 22nd walk, Shal Shudas. I just remember the ones I had to walk for an hour to hear. Those I remember. This is from one of the first ones. The Rambam Amar Nevuchim says that the reason why Hashem commanded us every 7 years to leave the ground alone is because the teva of land is that if you work it every single year without stopping, it eventually loses its nutrients. So if you want the land to be able to produce, you should take a year off, let all the land stay unworked, unplowed, unplanted, and then it will get back its kaychas, and it will be able to be taste kaycha, like he said, be able to give its kaychas on the eighth year. Even today, farmers are knowing that big farms, they have many fields, they switch off years. They don't use the same field every single year. Every once in a while, they give a different field a break.
Lies power.
That's what the Rambam says in Mar Nevuchim. It's the Peladika Rambam, because the Pasuk says not that way. It's a little bit difficult to understand the Rambam. The Pasuk says a different reason why we do Shemitah. In Pasuk it says, V'shav sa'aretz, Shabbos l'Hashem. We do it l'shem Hashem. Rashi says, Shabbos l'Hashem, l'shem Hashem. Whatever that means, that it's l'shem Hashem, but it's not so that I should have a good crop on the eighth year. That's not why I do it. V'shav sa'aretz Shabbos l'Hashem. It doesn't even say on Yantif Shabbos l'Hashem. Shabbos l'Hashem is a very, very high term, whatever it means. It says on Yantif, it says l'chem. Yeh l'chem. And on Shemitah, it says Shabbos l'Hashem. Again later on, Pasuk Dalet, Ubashana Hashvi is Shabbos Shabbos and Yiel Oretz Shabbos Lashem. Repeats again. Shabbos Shabbos and Yiel Oretz. It's a Shabbos Dika mitzvah. It's not some kind of practical agricultural advice. It's Kliyakar's Kasha. If you look at the Kliyakar, yes, this Kasha on the Rambam, in the beginning of the parasha. In addition, if a person is not Mekayim, this mitzvah, he's over a lav. Or not say. Or both. But Chazal tell us, really the Psukim tell us already, it says that when Klai Yisrael goes down to Golus, it says, Oz tirtzah ha'oras ha'shav seiseha. When Klai Yisrael won't be in Eretz Yisrael for many, many years, it'll make up for all the Shemitahs that Klai Yisrael didn't keep. Because the land will just lay unworked, undeveloped for that many years, and it will make up all its lost time. It's a very, very harsh punishment for people who didn't want to upkeep the agricultural strength of their land. Sounds like there's such a strict punishment, it's Gairim Golas. What's the, there must be something more here. And if we're going to understand why there's something more here, so what's Shah and the Rambam? We're a little bit stuck here. The other Mefarshim, on the other hand, most of the other Mefarshim, say a different Pshat and Shemitah. They say that the Pshat and Shemitah is, in the Lashon of the Chizkuni, says, Lahakir Sheha'aretz Shali. You work the land for 6 years, and it's a very, very practical thing. On the seventh year, you don't work the land. Why not? It's your land. Oh, it's not your land. It's Rabbeinu Shlom's land. It's to be makir that it's not really mine. Every 7 years, I recognize that it's not really mine. Similar to Shabbos, that every 7 days we measure ourselves from Malacha, and we recognize that this world is not really ours. Rav de Hashem. The Or Chaim HaKadosh says, puts it in interesting words. He says, we know that the Eretz Yisrael HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to us. Shemitah, he says, is a shiur b'matnas ha'aretz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to us for 6 out of every 7 years. But for the seventh year, it's not given to us. That stays by the Rabbi Shalom. There's no matnas ha'aretz on the seventh year. It's the Lashon of the Arachayim HaKadosh. The Sfarnu later on in the parasha says that the Sfarnu says that when it says HaShemayim Shemayim LaShem V'ha'aretz Nosam L'vnei Adam, Eretz Yisrael is not included in V'ha'aretz Nosam L'vnei Adam. We rent over there. We're guests of the Rabbani Shalom. It's the Rabbani Shalom's land.
What's the Haaretz idea? Yeah. The Haaretz is not the land. It's so much general land.
It's not the land. And the truth is, that's really the chiddush of Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is a big chiddush, and if you think about it, it's really a very, very, very central part of, even though we're not in Eretz Yisrael now, but we're yoinik from the meaning of what Eretz Yisrael is. It's a very central part of our whole Yiddishkeit. Eretz Yisrael is the concept that which is physical could also have kedusha. That's what Eretz Yisrael is. It's a physical land. It's earth. It's dirt. It's dust. Like every other land, but the mitzias of the land has kedusha. It's a land of kedusha, and that's a davar nifla ma'od. You don't have such a thing in Shemayim, and you don't have such a thing other places in the world. It's a davar nifla that you have a davar gashmi that turns ruchnias, that has absorbed ruchnias. And we recognize that fact. We recognize that fact that this land is a land of Kedusha. But every 7 years, we pull away from it. It's Rabbeinu Shlom's land. Okay. Every night, most nights, we go to sleep at night. And if we sleep a decent amount of hours, which is a big if when you have little kids, if you sleep a decent amount of hours, you wake up the next morning feeling refreshed and feeling rejuvenated and feeling like you have your kaychas back. Now, what would have happened if you would have lied in bed the entire night without sleeping? I'm sure some people have experienced that. Lying in bed the entire night without sleeping. Then in the morning, you don't wake up feeling rejuvenated and refreshed. So what exactly happens by sleep that somehow we're recharged? What are we plugging ourselves into? What exactly does sleep do? If I don't sleep, I'm doing exactly the same thing. I lie with my eyes closed for an hour. I wake up, I'm tired. Maybe it could be a little refreshing, it's a rest. But it doesn't return the kaychas. But if I sleep for the hour, then I open my eyes, I have fresh kaychas. What happened? What happened that I slept? So the pshat comes from understanding a very, very important klal. And it comes up in a lot of places. And that is that when something is distant from its source, from its power source, from its energy source, it loses its kaychas. We all have carried cell phones now, so the mashal is gevaldik. We all carry cell phones. You talk on a cell phone, your cell phone is unplugged for a little while, it loses its strength. The battery starts, the bars start disappearing. It starts losing its strength. It's not attached to its power source. Every night, you plug it into its power source, you return it to its shayrish, to the place that it gets its kaychus from, and then the next morning, you unplug your phone, you have a fully charged phone again. It's true about many things, but the phone is a good mashal for it. We don't belong here. This is not really where we come from, this Olam Hazeh. Our bodies come from Olam Hazeh, but our neshamas come from Shemayim. And it comes every morning we wake up and we're on battery power. Our neshama is detached from its power source. It's detached from its shayrish. It's detached from its makom yanika. And it's sent into a physical world. And over the day, we get tired out. Every night, our neshama goes back to where it came from. And that's what, when it comes in, the chiyus, the lebedikait of a fresh neshama is what revitalizes us and gives us new kaychas. And that's why sleep helps. That's the pshat in sleep. Is that I return to my shayrish. Where's my shayrish? Shamayim. So now, if you have an aretz, and the aretz has kedusha, so that means the aretz is not just completely physical. There's a spirituality, there's a ruchnius in the land also. And if that spirituality is not given the chance to return to its shayrish, to go to sleep, then it'll wear out, it'll become worn out. It won't, the shefa of bracha that comes into this land won't be able to be piled because it's tired. It's detached from its shayrish for too long. And those who, if you look at this, there's a bach in Arachan, I don't have it with me right now, but the power of the delicious fruits of Eretz Yisrael and the bountiful crops of Eretz Yisrael and all of the godless of Eretz Yisrael comes from the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. As a matter of fact, all the bracha, all the other lands in the entire world come from the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. Because all the brachas, the Sfarim say, all the brachas from anywhere in the world finds its shayrish. That's why it says that Shlomo HaMelech knew how to plant even vegetables or fruits that don't grow in Eretz Yisrael. He knew how to plant them in Eretz Yisrael because he knew where the line of the shefa of each type of plant or vegetable or fruit comes from the Makom HaMikdash out into the rest of the world, and he knew how to follow that line and plant along that line. That's what it says somewhere. But the point is that Eretz Yisrael is like the source, the power source of all the shefa of the whole world, and Eretz Yisrael itself, which has Kedusha, it needs to be able to return to its place of Kedusha so that it can continue to just like a person needs to go to sleep. The land doesn't need to go to sleep every night. It needs to go to sleep every 7 years. Every 7 years, we stop working to allow the land not to be piled for a year, so that the ruchnius of the land can be chayzer lamaila, and it can come back revitalized. That's what the Rambam means. In other words, this comes out that this that we rest on Shemitah, but the Rambam says it so that the land can keep giving its kaychas. So he said, what do you mean? The Pasuk says it's Shabbos LaHashem, it's for Hashem. Yeah, it's exactly the same thing. Why am I letting the land rest? Because it doesn't belong here. Because there's a Kedusha, there's a Ruchniyat that belongs in Shemayim. Because Olam Hazeh is not the full source of the kaych of the land. Because it belongs in Shemayim. Because it's Hashemayim Shemayim Lashem. Because this land wasn't fully given to Bnei Adam. This land has ruchnius in it. So my letting the land rest so that it could get its kaychas is a recognition that the land is shayach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that it's shayach to ruchnius. That's what it is.
Why say Shabbos? Why say Laila?
What?
He's trying to do the whole rejuvenating thing, but why Shabbos? Why Shabbos? Those processes.
When it says Shabbos, it doesn't mean like the day of Shabbos. Shabbos means rest. Laila doesn't mean rest. Yeah, but the Shabbos of the week is a little bit also. Yeah, I don't know exactly what. Yeah. It's in the pasuk, really. If you look at the pasuk, just to point out, just in the pasuk, in the pasuk. Da'aral b'nei Yisrael, the Yomar Talem, just going back to the Chizkuni, even without this whole shtickle, it's in the pasuk. I just forgot to mention before. Da'aral b'nei Yisrael, the Yomar Talem, ki savayu el ha'aretz, asher ani noisein lachem. When you come to the land that I'm giving you, yeah, we know that Eretz Yisrael Hashem is giving us. V'shovsa ha'aretz, shavas lachem. So that's where the Or HaChaim gets it from, that it's a shiur b'matnas ha'aretz. When you're coming into the land that I'm giving you, I'm not giving it 100%. I'm giving it to you, but v'shav sa'aretz shavas l'Hashem, you have to give it back once every 7 years. It has to return to me. It has to go to sleep. The ruchnias of the land has to come back. If Klal Yisrael does not mekayim shmita properly, so then they get sent out of Eretz Yisrael. Klal Yisrael sent out of Eretz Yisrael, the ruchnias of Eretz Yisrael is not pail at all in the land. It's a fact, by the way. I saw they use this in Kiruv a lot. It's a fact. Even bismanenu. Because when if you travel, Eretz Yisrael is still very hard to have crops and they have to irrigate and everything. It's very, very complicated. But if you traveled in the Golan and so on, you see beautiful, beautiful, beautiful lush green crops, bananas, grapes, like beautiful. But if you read the history reports and the eyewitness reports, just a couple of years ago, it was nothing. It was a desert. Nothing grew.
Even no line.
Well, even there, yeah. And they say that they use. I don't have all the proofs, but those who are in the business, you know, they have all the mamash proofs from different edim and so on. That as Yidden moved there to Yisrael, it just starts to produce. The land reacts to Jewish presence. It's an amazing thing. It's a historic fact. So when Klal Yisrael wants to take the ruchnius of the land back, they shouldn't be pale anymore. He sends it now to Golus. That's why it's Oz Tir Tzahor, it's a Shabbos Yisrael, that the Ruchni stays up in Shemayim.
Is that
what?
It's
because it's not, because we're not there, and therefore the Ruchni isn't there. But that's the... Esti?
Is that
otherwise no Kedusha? No, it's Kedusha. Avada has the dinim of Kedusha, but there's a certain... Ruchni is the kekayach, it's pile, it's there when a person's sleeping, there's no neshama. The neshama is there, but the full pool of the neshama is not dead.
I've seen it in
Golos. Yeah, in Golos it's like what's supposed to be by Shemitah. That the Kedusha, it's under the surface.
What is telling
the
people?
I don't know. I didn't focus on it now, so I don't know. Interesting thing, I started to talk about it today by the second Seder Shiur. It's an interesting thing that we have two Shabbos. We have Shabbos of Shabbos Bereishis, and we have Shabbos of Shabbos, like Shalom pointed out, the Shabbos of the Karka. Right? The 7 days is Shabbos, and every 7 years is Shemitah. And we know that the physical world is divided up into two parts. It's divided up into time and space. In the Revolva, Zechariah Levrach, and Revolva's Sefer on the Mitzvah Hashkulos, so he brings two of the Mitzvahs that it says that Hashachol Keneged Kol HaTorah. One of them is Shabbos, that's considered that it's the Gemara says it's Hashachol Keneged Kol HaTorah, and the other one is Eretz Yisrael. It's Yishev Eretz Yisrael. So before he talks about Shabbos and Eretz Yisrael, he has a perek that's very hard. Maybe Elisha will help me out on it. A very, very, very hard perek there. Called Makayim Uzman. Before he talks about Shabbos and Eretz Yisrael, he has a parak on Makayim and Zman. Because Shabbos is the Kedusha of Zman, and Eretz Yisrael is the Kedusha of Makayim. What's interesting, and this is, I think, a mamash an interesting thing. You have in the beginning the Shabbos Lashem of Karka. The end of the parsha is Es Shabbosai Tishmeru Umikdashi Tiro Ani Hashem, which is also Kedushas HaZman and Kedushas HaMakim in the same Pasuk. Mikdashi Tiro is the Kedushas HaMakim that Shaykh even in Chutz Laretz. It's obviously it's not a land, it's a bias. But it's also the idea of the Kedushas HaZman, in one Pasuk, Kedushas HaZman and Kedushas HaMakim. Es Shabsoise Tishmayru u Mikdashi Tiro Ani Hashem. And this is really the avodah of a person. The avodah of a person, besides, you know, outside himself, the avodah of a person is to be megala in zman and in makom, in the presence of Hashem. Part of the inyan of sfira that we say, part of usfartem lochem, to count for yourself, the 50 days of sfira. So the mefarshim say that part of the Indian of sphere is to make every day a day of Avodas Hashem, to make every day count. Count every day, make every day count. It's part of the limud of sphere. That's why sphere is 50 days, because a person's life in Chumash, in Kisvei Kodesh, is Yimei Shana Seyem Shivim Shana, and a person starts being Mechuyev Ba'Einshim from the time he's 20, and there's 50 years between 20 and 70, so that's considered a mashal to the life of a person. And the counting 50 days from Pesach to Shavuos, waiting to be makabel the Torah, is a mashal to how a person is supposed to live his life, focusing on each and every day, or each and every year, to make sure that he fills the zman with avodas Hashem, with the recognition of that he's zayim b'fnei HaMelech. Because time is also time. You have to picture time. We know how to kill time. You have to picture time every single minute or every single hour. Picture as a cup. Imagine that a day is 24 huge kalim, and in each one of those 24 huge kalim is 60 small kalim, and in each one of those 60 small kalim is another 60 small kalim. And a person's job as he goes through his day is to fill each kalim. You have a minute now ahead of you? Fill it. You have another minute? Fill it. What should I fill it with? Fill it with Avodas Hashem. It's not just time, it's not just like this endless time, it's something. Albert Einstein proved that time is a dimension. Time is something. There's an hour, it's a vessel that's waiting to be filled with Kavod Shamayim. When we say it's Malach al Aretz Kavodai, part of the Kavod that the world is full is that every minute is full of Kavod Shamayim, and it's our job to reveal it. So time is a vessel, and of course space. And every makam that a person is in a person's own makam, but in every makam that a person should be megala kavod shemayim in that makam. When I moved to Waterbury, so I asked Reuven Lechter for like some chizuk before moving to a new place. So he told me, I was moving out of town. He was very excited about that. So he told me that before, when they were in Ber Yaakov, when he learned about Revolve, when they were in Ber Yaakov. So in Ber Yaakov, there were a lot of Meshur learned there. He talks about it all the time. There were orange trees, a lot of orange trees. And they used to walk in the orchard, it smelled beautiful, it was very geschmack. There were tremendous yishuv adas. They used to walk on like an Arab Shabbos, they would take walks in the orange orchards. Shemitah, they would just pick oranges for Shabbos. So he said to me then, he said that the Mashgiach used to say that there's a lot of shtik lechtera hiding under the orange trees. A lot of Divrei Torah waiting there under the orange trees. I mean, it's a beautiful way to put it, but the point is that you're going out into the orchards, what are you going to do over there? Are you going to be Megala Kavod Shemayim over there, or are you going to space out over there? But there's Torah to be learned out there. Wherever you're going to be, wherever your domain is, there's Kavod Shemayim to be Megala. Person's traveling, so we look at like, I'm traveling, I have to get from here to here. But every single step along the way is another Keli that could be filled with Kiddush Hashem, with Kiyum Mitzvahs, with Shmir from Averis, every single area. It's Makom and Zman. Es Shabsoise Tishmayru U'Mikdashi Tiro Ani Hashem. That's the tafkid of living in this world. Filling the physical world with Kavod Shamayim. The Svarim say that's what Ma'in Yishmita Eitz Har Sinai. The beginning of the parasha is very interesting. The beginning of the parasha is Vaydabra Hashem Moshe. The Har Sinai Lamer, Hashem spoke to Moshe on Har Sinai, saying, yeah, of course it was on Har Sinai. Well, all the rest of the Torah is Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lamer. That's the Vayidaber Hashem El Moshe Behar Sinai Leimer. So Rashi is the kasha, Mayan Yishmita Itzar Sinai. And Rashi says this to teach me that just like this was said by Har Sinai, so too everything that we learned in the Torah, even the things that doesn't say was said by Sinai, everything was said by Sinai, and then again in Ohel Moed, and so on. You can look at the Rashi. But the question is, why was Shemitah chosen as the mitzvah which shows me that everything was said by Sinai? What's the reason for that? Why doesn't it say by the din of Nimkar La'akum, by Dabar Shalom Moshe Bahar Sinai Leimer? Why dafka the mitzvah of Shemitah? According to what we're saying, it could be, and as far as I'm saying, along these lines, that the Indian of Shemitah is to show that the physical world is full of Kavod Shamayim, that there's Kedusha in the physical world, and that's what the Torah came down into this world for. The Torah could have stayed in Shemayim. Shemayim is a very holy place. The Torah came down into this world to be Megala, that there's Kedusha, and there's Kavod Shamayim, and there's Rabbanu Shalom in a physical world. That's what the Torah is down here for. So by Dabar Hashem El Moshe Behar Sinai, Lamer, by Har Sinai, the place that they got the Torah, whatever the reason is, but Zdafka the mitzvah of Shemitah. By Har Sinai, the place where they got the Torah, Hashem told in the mitzvah of Shemitah that it's Shabbos Lashem, that the land belongs to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, and that we recognize that there's Ruchnius in the land, and that we have to be Megala the Ruchnius in the world. That's the first. Monday is Pesach Sheni. Is it Monday?
Yeah, it's Monday.
I want to say a little bit about Pesach Sheni. Do you ever hear anything about Pesach Sheni from me?
Yeah,
sure. What? Which year? It evolved this. You'll tell me. The parsha, does anybody know where the parsha of Pesach Sheni is? Anybody?
We give up.
Baal Yisrael. Parsha is Baal Yisrael. Does anybody know what Pesach Sheni is?
I heard what you said last year.
I'm not sure what this So you know Pesach Sheni?
What?
You know Pesach Sheni?
Yeah, it was the people who it's an Einus happened, they couldn't even come to the Kavod Pesach on Pesach.
Those who are nice there, it's one sheet.
Measure of Rabbeinu was Pesach and another.
Okay. What do I say? In Parshas Baalo Yisro, Vaydabar Hashem al Moshe b'midbar Sinai b'shana ha'shenis l'tzeis av yeres Mitzrayim b'chodesh harishon leimar. He says that you should do the Pesach. Zok the pasuk that there were people that were tamei l'nefesh adam v'lo yochlu la'asvei sapesach b'yayim ha'u, and they couldn't bring a carbon Pesach. V'yikrivu l'fnei Moshe v'lifnei Aaron b'yayim ha'u, and they brought themselves close to Moshe and Aaron. They came in front of Moshe and Aaron. V'yayim ha'anoshim ha'ayim ha'elav, and those people said to him, Anachnu tmeim l'nefesh adam, we're tamei. Why were they Tamei? So it's either like David says that they were the ones carrying Yosef's Aaron, so they were Tamei Meis. It could be that they were from Nadav Aviu getting killed, they were the ones who buried Nadav Aviu, so they were Tamei Meis. But they were Anusim. By no fault of their own, they were Tamei Meis. They told Moshe Rabbeinu, Anachnu Tveim L'Nefesh Adam, we're Tamei Meis. Lama nigora levilti hakriv es karban Hashem b'mayadei. Why should we lose out not to be makriv the karban of Hashem in its right time? B'soich b'nei Yisrael. So Moshe said, "Yemer ale Moshe imdu, stand here, wait right here, imdu." It's interesting. Be'eshma and I'll hear by yitzava Hashem lochem what Hashem commands you. And again, we mentioned this last week by the Mekalo, the godless nigodol mi Moshe Rabbeinu, that he says, "Okay, I'm going to hear what Hashem has to say," and he gets nevuah. Same thing by the Makal. They said they locked him up to see what Hashem says. Vaydabar Hashem al Moshe. Moshe was able to count on that. If he was stuck, he didn't even know what to do. He can count on a nevuah. Halfway of a fella. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that someone who's Tamei or he's very far away and he's not able to make a bring a carbon Pesach. So in the second month, on the 14th day, he should bring a carbon Pesach. And this has some halachas of carbon Pesach, and it ends off with a halacha that a ger also is chayiv in Karban Pesach. me ask you three. Let's do three questions. Question number one. Why did they come in front of Moshe and in front of Aaron? Why did they just come in front of Moshe? Who's the nice in that role here? You have to go in front of Moshe and the Kohen Gadol? What does that have to do with Aaron? So Elamai, so and Rashi goes through that it can't be that they went in front of Moshe and then they went in front of Aaron, because if Moshe didn't know, how did you expect Aaron to know? So Elamai, Moshe and Aaron were both sitting there and they came in front of them. So they were coming in front of Moshe. Moshe's the teacher over here. Why does the Pasuk have to mention, oh, by the way, just important for you to know, Aaron was there. Who cares? The point is they asked Moshe what to do. Who responded? Moshe. Who did the Tzivoy go to? Moshe. What's Aaron's role over here? The Lashon Imdu we pointed out. Imdu, stand right here. We have to really, it's very important for the Pasuk to tell us that Moshe Rabbeinu told them to stand there. The point is, let me hear what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to say. What's Imdu? What is that? And finally, the halacha of Ger is a halacha in Korban Pesach. It could have said in Parashas Boy. The regular halacha, it's not a specific halacha to Pesach Sheni. It's a halacha that a Ger is chayv in Korban Pesach. So much so that Rashi brings Chazal av hava mina, that a Ger, stamazay, it's saying a halacha. As soon as someone becomes a Ger, he has to bring a Korban Pesach. It's such a hava mina, Chazal. It says, if you have a Ger, you should bring a Korban Pesach. So there's a hava mina. That a Ger, you know, he does Mila and Tvila, Kabbalah. So this is a Korban Pesach. So if the Gemara, no, the Gemara dashes to the Pasuk, no, that he doesn't bring Korban Pesach, he brings it this time, that all you didn't bring it. It's coming to say that the Ger is chayv in Korban Pesach. What does that do with Pesach Sheni? Say that in Parshas Boy. So the Indian over here, it's important to realize, and this is what Alicia remembers, this is the... For years and years and years, it always got me excited, and every single year when it comes to Parshas Va'loschen, I hear the Baal Peh relaying the words Lama Nigara, I get chills from it. Lama Nigara, why should we lose out? One of the most special Parshas in the Torah, that you had Yidden that were putter from doing the mitzvah. They were Tomei Meis, Ba'inus. They were putter. And what was their attitude towards that tour? You putter. You don't have to spend $5,000 now on a Korban Pesach. You putter. Their attitude was, Lama Nigar, why should we lose out? We also want to bring a Korban Pesach. I also want to be close to Hashem. Lama Nigar, why should we lose out? Just because I'm Tame, it's not my fault, but I want to be close to Hashem. Reb Tzadik says that's the Imdu. Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Imdu ein amida ela tefila, like oimid lehispalo. Amida to Gemara ein amida ela tefila. Amida means tefila." Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't saying stand there. We don't have to know what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying. Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, "Be mispalo." The Rebbeinu Shalom that he should. You want to be close to him. Bring your case to the Rebbeinu Shalom. So Moshe Rabbeinu told him, "You be mispalo," and then the Rebbeinu Shalom will tell me what to do. But it's a result of the tefila. Imdu. Stand and be mispiled. Tell the Rabbi Shalom that I want to be close to you. Lama Nigara, why do I have to lose out? Why is Be'oinus, am I losing out on the unbelievable Madrega of being able to bring in Korban Pesach? Ve'eshma, and then I'll hear my Yitzhav Hashem, Lochem. Unbelievable pshat. Every single year, obviously, Pesach Sheni comes down in the middle of Sfira. So we assume, it's a month after Pesach, so it has to come out of the middle of Sfira, because Sfira is longer than a month. But we know that the Rebbeinu Shlom has the calendar worked out perfectly. And everything that comes out exactly when it comes out is all part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's cheshbon, of the cycle of Yiddishkeit, of how he wants us to grow. Reb Tzadik says it's cheshbon, like this. We're all familiar, this is really the famous Torah that we're all familiar with, about the difference between Pesach and Shavuos. And we know that on Pesach they were holding kemat by the 49th Madrega of Tumah. They were in the low, low, low Madrega, and they had Giluyim like unbelievable on Pesach. Right, Kriyas Yamsuf, Rasa, Shivcha, Alayom, Ashalei, Roa, Nevi'im, the lowest shifcha sura giluyim saw greater revelations than Nevi'im would see later on. They saw tremendous revelations. For people on the lowest level of tumah, that's pretty incredible. So they say that we know that there's two ways that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mashpia on us. There's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings us up, he's mashpia on us, what's called Isarusa de Le'ela. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bechesed, even if I'm not on the Madrega, bechesed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals to me things that are way beyond my Madrega. And then there's such a thing as Isarusa de Le'sata, which is the low Hisairus. What does that mean, the lower Hisairus? That's when I step by step work on myself to be taka on the Madrega for those revelations. So the Sfarim say that Pesach is the first, Pesach is a Hisairus from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Yidden were on the lowest Madrega. It wasn't from them that they got to see all these incredible things. It was Targum Yonason says that they were lifted, they were brought to the Makim HaMikdash, the night of the Seder. This type of Nisim v'Neflois. It was the Rabbeinu Shlom's Hesiris. And then there's 49 days of Shavuos, the counting of the 49 days of Shavuos, that's them working on themselves until they're able to reach a Madrega, that when Shavuos, they were able to have those Madregas on their own work. But it's finer than that. That's just the basic outline. But now let's color in another little nekuda in that outline. Even within Sphira itself, like any father, you know, when you teach your son how to walk, or you teach your son how to ride a bike. Anybody here ever teach someone how to ride a bike? You ever teach someone how to ride a bike? At least you never taught someone how to ride a bike. So you put the guy on a bike, and you walk next to him while he's pedaling, right? And then you start leaving go. Until finally you leave go enough, and he goes off. But it's not 1 second you're holding on, the next second you went home. It's a slow process of leaving go until the person's able by himself to do it. So even though Sphira, Klal Yisrael was already holding by the point of counting, but Sphira is broken up into two parts, until Pesach Sheni and after Pesach Sheni. Where do you see this in Chazal and the Pesukim, any difference between Pesach Sheni and not Pesach Sheni? Because Pesach Sheni is exactly 30 days after they came out of Mitzrayim. And we know that the Matzah of Yitzhiyos Mitzrayim lasted for 30 days. The Charora Shehitziyum in Mitzrayim, the Matzah that they brought out of Mitzrayim lasted for 30 days. Until they had to be zeicher to the man by themselves, they had to be mispalel and be zeicher to the man. But they had the matzah of Yitzias Mitzrayim for 30 days. The matzah of Yitzias Mitzrayim is meramis to us, Reb Tzadik says, that a little bit of the hisairus of Yitzias Mitzrayim was with them for 30 days. For 30 days, Klal Yisrael, it's part of the reason we eat matzah on Pesach Sheni, for 30 days, Klal Yisrael was still eating from the matzah of Pesach. Read that deeper. They were still being yoinik. They were still drawing strength from the Madrega of Pesach. Hashem, they were pedaling on their own, but Hashem was holding on to the bicycle. There was still something left from Yitzias Mitzrayim. Pesach Sheni came, was all used up. It had to be all on their own. That was already, they were already riding on their own. Until Shavuos, so they reached back up to that Madrega. So Pesach Sheni was a tremendous turning point to Klal Yisrael. It's a tremendous turning point to Klal Yisrael that they weren't receiving anymore. They had to by themselves, they had to push for the Madrega themselves. And that's the day that we find Yidden saying, Lama Nigora. That's the day that we find saying, I want to be close to Hashem. The motivation coming from themselves. I'm Potter. Nothing's forcing me. I want to be close to Hashem. It's coming from me now. I want to be close to Hashem. That day of Pesach Sheni, that's all about, I'm Potter, but I want to be close to Hashem. That's the day that the Kedusha transferred over from HaKadosh Baruch Hu bringing us up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, let me see if you can do it yourself. The first day of let me see if you can do it yourself was the day of Yidden screaming, I want to be close to you. It's true that I'm Potter, but I want to be close to you. That's halfway of a fellow. What a beautiful day to start off the process of that the beginning of the matzah being used up. And that's what Aaron has to do with it. Moshe is the Rebbe. He's a dogma, he's a shliach of the Rabbeinu Shalom, shlucha de Rachmana. Moshe is the Rebbe. It says the words of Hashem spoke in his mouth. Mamish Aspaklar Yahameira, mamish a clear transmission of the words of the Rabbanu Shalom to us. And who was the first person that Moshe Rabbeinu taught? What does it say in Rashi and Vayikra? Who's the first person that Moshe Rabbeinu taught? Who's the first Talmud?
Aaron.
So Moshe is the first Rebbe, and Aaron is the first Talmud. Moshe is the first teacher of Torah, and Aaron is the first learner of Torah. Moshe represents the Torah coming down, and Aaron represents me learning Torah, me receiving the Torah. And that's why, that's what it means that the Sfarim say that Moshe is Meramit, Moshe's Inyan is Torah Shebiksav, and they say, whatever it's Nagei, we're not going to get into tonight, but Aaron represents Torah Shebalpeh. That's what the Sfarim say. Aaron represents, Moshe represents Torah Shebiksav, Aaron represents Torah Shebalpeh. What does that mean? Because Torah Shebiksav, that's what we received from Hashem. It's not coming from me. We received from Hashem. Aaron is the work of the Talmud. That's Torah Shebalpeh. What we're Mechadish. Our Torah. What happens to the Torah after it hits us? The vantage point of the Mekavel, of the Chachmei Yisrael, that's Aaron. So Moshe represents the Noisin, and Aaron represents the Mekavel. We know that each one of the 7 weeks of Sphere represents another one of the Midas of Hashem. And as we know from Sukkot, each one of the Midas of Hashem is represented by one of the Shpizim, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, Yosef, David. The week that starts with Pesach Sheni, it starts Aaron HaKoyen's week. The Midah of Hoyd, which is the Midah of Aaron HaKoyen. It's not a coincidence, because that's when it started with the Tzad of the Mekabel. And that's why when they came Pesach Sheni, the matzah is used up. And they came to, not because Hashem is being mashpia on them, but because they themselves want to draw themselves close. They didn't come just to Moshe. They included Aaron HaKoyen in that. Vayomer al Moshe ve'el Aaron. Moshe, because he's the one who has to give them the answer, the tshuva. He's the one who has to go to the Rabbanu Shalom and get the answer. But they didn't want to just address Moshe. They wanted to address Aaron also, because what was cooking over here was something that's very relevant to Aaron HaKoyen's Midah, and that is, this is not about me receiving. This is about me, myself, without receiving. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not being mashpia. I'm drawing myself close. Lama Nigara. I'm drawing myself close. So that gets addressed to Moshe and to Aaron. If you look at the Psukim, and I would ask you, after reading the Pesukim, I would ask you to tell me what would happen if a person b'mezer doesn't bring a Korban Pesach. Could he bring a Pesach Sheni? So you would say, no. It says it's someone who's tame or far away. It doesn't say that someone who decides not to bring it. But the emes is that if you learn the Gemara, and the Ramban brings it over here, if you learn the Gemara dashes from the pasuk that even someone who been mazed didn't bring a Pesach Rishon, he has to bring a Pesach Sheni. So that's disturbing. The pasuk is not mashma that way, but the Gemara learns it out from a drasha. So first of all, why is it so? And if it's so, why is it so, like, it's almost like the Torah purposely tried to hide it. Hashem said, someone who's far away, or is tamei, and he can't do the Korban Pesach, he should bring the Pesach Sheni. Oh, by the way, even if he on purpose doesn't bring it, he could also bring the Pesach Sheni. It's like under the table. Why isn't the pasuk just say someone who didn't bring a Pesach Sheni, he should bring a Pesach Rishon, he should bring a Pesach Sheni. So I'll tell you what I used to think, and I'll tell you what I think now. What I used to think the pshat is that someone who b'mezer doesn't bring the Pesach Sheni, doesn't bring a Pesach Rishon. He b'mezer, Sam didn't want to bring a Korban Pesach. Really, he doesn't deserve to bring a Pesach Sheni. Because the whole parsha of Pesach Sheni was said by people who, even though they were potter, they wanted to be chayiv. And you were chayiv and you made yourself potter? And you want to bring a Pesach Sheni now? It's not for you. But Lamaisa, now that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mechadish, that there's such a thing called Pesach Sheni, if you were such a avariah that you didn't want to bring a Pesach Rishon, at least take advantage of Pesach Sheni. But we don't say it beferish in the Pasuk, because it really wasn't said for you. The Maila of Pesach Sheni wasn't really said for you. That's what I used to think of Shabbos. Afterwards, I realized that there's a deeper pshat. And that is based on a klal that we know. And I have a whole list of examples of this klal. It's getting late. I don't want to go through it now. But I have a whole list of examples of this klal. That the way that the Torah says something is a reflection of the way it really is. In other words, there's the pshat in the pasuk. There's drushes on the pasuk. There are ramazim. There are saidas. Pshat, remez, drush, said. The way that it says it, that's what really happened. I'll just give you one mashal that Rav Huttner brings. It says in the Pasuk in Parashat Shemais, V'na'aroseh ho'lcheis al-sfas ha'yor. It says that when Bas Parai came to the Nile, her maidservants were walking at the edge of the river. So they were walking at the edge of the river. So the Gemara says in Saita, I think Daf Yud Beis around, the Gemara says in Saita, ho'lcheis l'misa. The Gemara brings another Pasuk, hini anaychi ho'lcheich l'mus. When it says they were ho'lcheis, they were dying. She came to the Nile to bathe, and her maidservants just started dying. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want that they should stop her from taking Moshe Rabbeinu. So he eliminated them. So the Parsha Pshat is that they were walking. And the Gemara said that they were dying. So Rav Huttner says, now one second. He says, this Pshat Remez Drush and Said in Torah. This Pshat Remez Drush and Said in a person. There's the physical person, that's the Pshat. And then there's the Neshama. That's the remez, drush, said, neshama, nefesh, ruach, neshama, so it's remez, drush, and said. There's the external of a person, and then there's the pneumius of a person, just like the external of the Torah, and there's the pneumius of the Torah. Whatever is said in the Torah externally applies to the external of the person. Whatever is said in the Torah internally, in drush, applies to the person internally. So Rav Huttner says, they were walking, because that's what it says in the Pasuk, they were walking. The death was a ruchniyistic death, that they became like, and we've all unfortunately met people like that. They became spiritually dead. They were unable to talk. They were unable to object. They became like they lost. You know, a person has a certain ability to speak his mind, to say what's on his mind, to give an opinion. That comes from his ruchniyus. That comes from his inside, not from his body. They halchais lemisa means that's in the drush. Because it corresponds to the drush of the person, to the neshama of the person. So they were walking and they were dead. It's both true. It depends on the level. The external pasuk says walking, so that's the externally they were walking. Internally, the Gemara dashes in drush that they were dying. So internally, in their ruchnias, they were dying. But she went home with all her maidservants that day. Same thing is true over here in Pesach Sheni. It's an unbelievable thing. We know that every single Yid wants to be close to Hashem. There's not a Yid in the world that doesn't want to be close to Hashem. Because the heart of a Yid wants to be close to Hashem. For some people, it's external that they want to be close to Hashem. And for some people, externally, you don't see anything. But internally, they want to be close to Hashem, even though they themselves don't know it. But deep, deep down, there's internally that cheshek that they want to be close to Hashem. These tzaddikim, they were anusim, they were pater, and they anyway said lama nigara, they're screaming lama nigara externally. A rasha who bemazed skips the garden Pesach, he's also screaming lama nigara. He doesn't know it. It's internal, it's inside. Deep, deep, deep inside, under all the layers of his yetzahara, there's a screaming Jewish heart screaming lama nigara. But it's deep inside. Pesach Sheni is only for people who say lama nigara. Only for people who want to draw close to Hashem. So the external of the parasha talks about people who the only reason they didn't bring the Pesach Rishon is Ba'inus. Because externally they want to bring the Korban Pesach. So the external of the parasha refers to people who externally want to bring the Korban Pesach. The Gemara darshans, even someone who b'meza didn't bring the Korban Pesach, still brings the Korban Pesach. The reason why it's a drasha is because it refers to the internal of a person. Internally, even the Russia wants to bring a Korban Pesach. Even the Russia is crying Lama Nigara. So that's the drasha internally. And that's Korban Pesach. Are we here a Elisha?